Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Zarin Burnett.
Elizabeth Dutton, is that you?
Yes. Do you want to know what's ridiculous?
No, but I know you do, and I got an answer for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Elvis Presley.
Okay. Ridiculous.
Did you know that dude had some goth in him?
Really?
Yeah. He wanted to be like rockabilly goth. He was after that edgier look.
He was all psychobilly?
He was really a blonde. He dyed his hair black.
No.
So he would look tough.
I didn't know that.
I know. He was a natural blonde, total blonde, like real blonde, and he dyed eyebrows and hair black so he could be like, I'm tough Elvis. I come from the streets
wow.
or whatever. I don't know.
He's all, I'm dark and mysterious.
Yeah, it's like if he needed like a touch-up, he'd like see like a shoeshine guy and be like, hey, man, can you touch up my sides?
What? Yeah. Are there any pictures of him blonde?
I'm sure, yeah. I can find one for you.
Just ask ChatGPT.
Isn't that wild? They just picture Elvis Presley as a blonde.
It's hard.
Did he dye everything?
Oh, did the drapes match the carpet is the question?
Yeah.
I don't know if the hound dog rolled that way.
I think he was just completely bare from the neck down.
He was more concerned about his blue suede shoes.
He had absolutely
bare from the neck,
no
like
hair.
A Ken doll, just
yes,
smoothed
no
over.
No hair anywhere. Anyway, that's ridiculous.
Right? Blonde Elvis.
Do you want to know what else is ridiculous?
Yeah.
I am not a crook.
Wait, my boy Tricky Dick?
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous. Zarin.
Elizabeth.
Remember the hole in the ground gang?
Yes.
I talked about how L.A. is the bank robbery capital of the world.
Completely.
It's quite a distinction.
It is.
Well, Zarin.
Yes.
We're back at it.
Oh, I love it.
L.A.
I love robbing banks with you.
I know. L.A. bank robbery. I love robbing L.A. banks with you. I'm going to be honest here. I thought I already did this one.
Okay.
Like, not the heist in real life, uh-huh. but, like, I thought I already told you about it. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered how it all went down. See, when I was writing my outline, mm-hmm. which I don't know if I've spelled this out here before for everyone, but I'm going to break the fourth wall for a second.
Wait, there's a fourth wall?
When we do these shows, the person telling the story comes up with an outline of the story and points that they want to make. And the other person has no idea what story they're going to hear. So mm-hmm. there's no script
yes.
that we back and forth. Anyway, I was writing my outline for the whole.
So now that's how that magic trick
yeah.
works.
A little behind the scenes. Watch the
You
sausage.
Gonna tell him what producer Dave is wearing next? I mean, because
no,
every time he wears
secret.
A special outfit and that's because it's in the mood.
Well, anyway, I was writing my outline for the Hole in the Ground gang
yes, uh-huh.
and I had some intro stories that I included, amuse-bouche,
yes.
as you often say.
Yes.
So I started telling the one I'm going to tell you today, but then I realized it was too big just to be an intro
oh.
and I needed it to be its own thing.
Oh.
I needed it to live its truth.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let it have its journey.
But I'd written a chunk of it before scrapping it.
Ah.
And because I'm me, I didn't save what I wrote. Just delete, delete, delete.
That's what you get with your inbox zero
so
life.
So it gave me deja vu when I started writing this one. Mm-hmm. And I was worried that I was like going to write it and repeat one I'd already done, which to be fair will likely happen at some point. Because you know me. Well, oh well. That said, this is the United California bank robbery.
United California. What is that?
United California Bank.
Oh, of course.
It's a Los Angeles-based banking institution, 117 bank branches throughout California.
Yes.
UCB started in 1868 as the San Francisco Bank.
Huh.
And then it expanded all through Southern California. You know, they had a bunch of mergers, acquisitions, until it was sold to Sanwa in 1972. Remember Sanwa Bank?
Oh, yeah, Sanwa,
1972. An important year for United California. It was sold to Sanwa, but that's also the year it got hit hard.
Really?
Yes. This particular branch I'm going to tell you about was the United California Bank in Laguna Niguel.
Okay.
An affluent community.
Yes, very nice.
It's a, this is like a, it was a small branch bank in like a shopping center, less than 100 feet from California Highway 1. Pacific Coast Highway,
yeah, PCH.
PCH, not to be confused with CPK, California Pizza Kitchen.
And even though like I was only in Southern California for a while, I still call it the PCH instead of PCH. And I peer people only say PCH.
Oh, yeah,
they get rid of the...
You do the whole the article in front of the highway. So I say Highway 5, you say the 5.
The 5.
I say, I'm going to get on 580. You say, I'm going to get on the 580.
I'm going to take the 580 that way.
Yeah, and I just say 580. Anyway, that's a Northern California, Southern California distinction.
People used to say, though, that they don't say anymore is I-5. You don't usually hear that as much
anymore.
Oh,
yeah, I do remember everyone calling it I-5. Yeah. When I lived in the South, they would call it number whatever.
Yeah.
Number 9.
Yeah, that's very much the old highway system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now that we've gotten that out.
Of course, yes.
So PCH, okay. The one to you. PCH to me. But not CPK, California Pizza Kitchen.
No.
There's an embankment between where this bank is and PCH, so you really like can't see the highway from the bank. And you can't see the ocean from there either, even though it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice neighborhood when it's right on the Pacific Ocean and you can't look at the streets on Google Street View.
What do you mean?
It totally killed my vibe.
Like they wouldn't let the Google truck drive around?
You can't drag the little man to the map. They don't let the Google truck. Sometimes that happens in like gated communities, but sometimes not. The main roads of it. I can't see it. I can't see what it looks
You're
like.
You're flying blind.
I can tell you that it's really beautiful down there.
Yes.
Super Tony. I went down the coast a little and then tried to look up on Google Street View. But it's a bit of a cove.
I applaud your effort.
Thank you.
Got chutzpah, don't you?
I do. The heist crew, and I'll get to them in a moment, they made a bunch of scouting trips to this place. They checked out the surrounding area. They got the layout of the bank down. And then they had a total lock on the security situation. And they weren't local. They were operating out of Ohio.
Wow.
It's a long way from Ohio to Laguna Niguel.
And it's not a spot you would pick. You never hear about Laguna Niguel outside of California.
2,400 miles from their base. It was back in a warehouse in Ohio that they built a replica of the bank for the crew to study.
I love this.
I know. They were practiced breaking into safety deposit boxes there.
Mm-hmm.
This couldn't have been a cheap undertaking.
No, this sounds financed.
What it tells you, though, is that the expected haul is going to be
big,
huge.
Yes, they know something.
Yeah. So this heist crew, let's meet them. Zara.
Please.
Come along. We'll start with the ringleader, Emil Dincio.
Okay.
And he was born in Goshen, Ohio in 1936.
Hmm.
If it's Goshen, I don't care. So he started doing the crime in high school. He and his brother, they broke into hundreds of banks at night in high school.
Nice.
According to Emil, quote, banks were like gifts. Somebody gives you a gift, you take it. We weren't out there to hurt nobody. We were just out there to take the money.
We're looking for fun.
It's
we're young. We're dumb. We like gifts.
So Emil, he was linked to a minimum dozen bank burglaries that took place all throughout the 60s and 70s with a total take estimated at over $30 million.
Damn.
Yeah.
Good on you, son.
So this makes him one of the USA's most successful bank robbers.
Oh, he's prolific.
This is what he said, quote, thrill of the money and just doing it, knowing it's sitting there. It was so easy. You wouldn't believe how easy it was. It's like, you morons. So he handled the alarms while his brother James took care of explosives. Emil said, quote, "There was nobody else doing what we was doing. And we knew what we were doing. Me and my brother, I know of nobody any better."
Okay.
Top of the game.
Yeah.
Top of the heap,
and
baby.
And humble as heck.
Oh, completely. So they brought in other experienced criminals to back them up. There was Charlie Brockle, and he was sometimes known as the Silver Fox.
Oh, and his, get out, really?
No, I'm serious. And then his other nickname was the Creep.
No, for real?
Yeah, totally. So he was from Collinwood, Ohio.
None of them are the broccoli guy? Like, nothing with broccoli?
No.
Bobby and, Broccoli? That's what I call him.
Yeah, but it's Brockel.
I know, but it's close enough.
Brockel. So he was a burglar, and he was also a hitman.
Oh.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Then there was the Dincio's nephew, Harry Barber.
See, I'm telling you. That one takes
Barber.
Care of itself.
Yeah. He was an accomplished thief, and he was a great getaway driver. So he was born in Alliance, Ohio.
Named Harry Barber, you got to be good at something.
Something. Alliance, Ohio, mm-hmm. birthed him out. But then he moved to Southern California with his family in 1956 because his mom, Viola, she had really terrible arthritis, and she needed warmer, drier
oh,
weather.
Yeah, totally. Go out, move to the desert.
Yeah, so it was in Southern California that he learned to drive like a madman.
It's a great place to do it.
Totally.
Especially at that time.
In the late 50s, early 60s, he got 41 speeding tickets.
Wow.
And so he also got his license.
I was about to say, usually you can't get that high
anymore.
No,
you can't. His parents were totally tired of his antics.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent him to live with his grandma in Ohio, Poland,
Oh, they sent
Ohio.
Him back to Ohio.
Yeah, they're like, you got to go back there. He goes back to Ohio, gets a new driver's license, gets a job working for Uncle Emil.
Mm.
Yeah. So next we have Emil's brother-in-law, Charles Mulligan. Another crook. And lastly, Phil Christopher. He was an alarm thief, and he was known as like a super thief in Cleveland.
Okay.
He was the super thief of Cleveland. So we got Emil, James.
The super thief of Cleveland.
Brockel, Barber, Mulligan, and Christopher. That's
put
the
that
heist
on the
crew.
Back of a satin jacket. The
oh
super
my God.
Thief of Cleveland.
Totally. This is the heist crew.
Yes.
They have one target.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the United California Bank, UCB, and not Upright Citizens Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were also after $30 million in that bank.
They knew that $30 million would be there.
That Richard Nixon reportedly got as a campaign bribe from notorious mobster posing as a union man, Jimmy Hoffa.
Wow. So they're after Hoffa's money that he gave to Nixon
uh-huh.
on the sly, and they know it's there?
Yep. Nixon!
In Ohio. How deep are they involved in the union movement?
We're going to get so much in our brains today.
I have so many questions.
Yeah. March 8th, 1972, Ronald Barber, Emil's nephew, he rented a townhouse near the bank, and he paid $1,000 cash to lease it for 3 months.
Okay.
And that was going to be their operations base.
Sure.
So like a week later, there are two teenagers, they're on a hike in the area, and they found an electric motor that had been converted into a drill. And then they also found a commercial sledgehammer, a custom-made lead sledgehammer,
uh-huh.
three concrete drill bits, and a can of roofing tar.
This is all just left out?
Just hanging out. So they take all the stuff over to the Laguna Beach Police Department, and they turned it over to the sheriff's department as, like, found property. Like, someone dropped all their drill bits.
These guys really got the Scooby-Doo treatment.
I
would have gotten away with it for these meddling kids.
Well, the tools, they were not tied to the bank robbery until, like, weeks after
yeah,
it happened.
Yeah, but still, it sets them
Come
up.
Come on, I mean, yeah. Like... So the crew, they practiced getaway driving in an Oldsmobile 88.
Wow.
Because, like, Barber, he's the getaway driver, he was a huge Steve McQueen fan.
Yes.
And he modified the trunk of the car to, like, hide the tools properly.
Uh-huh.
So March 10th, 1972.
So he wants a car like the getaway? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mulligan, he shows up at the home of a childhood friend of his from Youngstown, Ohio, named Earl Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes went by the name Early.
Okay, Early Dawson.
So Dawson, not a criminal. I mean, he had like a couple of DUIs.
Sure.
He was a retired Marine.
He's a citizen.
So Mulligan, he asks Dawson, the mm-hmm. Marine, can I leave this car here?
Yeah.
A 1962 Oldsmobile 88.
Yeah, why not?
And Dawson said, quote, he said he wanted to leave the car at my place for a while. I thought he meant to leave it parked at the curb, but he wanted it in the garage out of sight. So Dawson, he doesn't see Mulligan again until the 26th of March. So this was on the 10th.
Okay.
So it's like he's just hiding the car in the garage.
For a fortnight.
Right. On Friday, March 24th, the heist kicked off. So the team, they used a vacant building next to the bank as their entry point. After dark, they disabled the alarm system. They sprayed surfboard repair foam into the main alarm.
That's
the
good.
Expanding foam.
Totally, that's brilliant.
And the creator of the foam, Gordon Grubby Clark, mm-hmm. he had a factory just a few miles away from
okay,
the bank.
Okay, yeah, bet.
Yeah, so they're buying local. That's yeah, what I'm trying to
it's
say.
It's important. Support local businesses. Yeah.
So that hardened foam kept the alarm clapper from ringing the bell.
Oh, brilliant.
And then Barber said, quote, "They all got sprayed. We'd seen it, meaning the goop, mm-hmm. in the past, and we thought we'd try it. It worked very well." So, you know, they're testing things
out. Material science. I love it.
Completely. Sheriff's Detective James Sidebotham.
Yeah, so that's mm-hmm. a name and a half.
This is what he said about this whole alarm trick. Quote, "When we got out of there a couple days later, the electric motor that runs the clapper was still humming." Like, they couldn't turn the whole thing off. Anyway, there was also an interior alarm. Emil took care of that using a voltmeter to pick up the sonic alarm wires that he first cut and then resoldered. So he, like, detected all the wires. He deactivates the alarms, and then the crew left the bank for an hour.
Just to let it chill? Like,
well, yeah, they wanted to wait and see
like
if anyone...
Like you're baking a cake and you let it sit aside for 40 minutes?
It has to rest.
Yeah, yeah.
They wanted to see if anyone was alerted to this. So they sat there listening to the police scanner like me on a Friday night.
Yes, okay.
Just listening.
When Elizabeth time, as we call it.
Exactly. When they saw that the coast was clear and no one was wiser, they went in. They scrambled up to the roof of the bank. The guys had taken 20 burlap feed sacks worth of dirt from the ground around South Shores Baptist Church.
Okay.
Like sacred ground, I suppose. they carried this up the ladder and down into the crawl space, and it was there that they laid out 16 sticks of dynamite. 16.
In the dirt or in the bags?
In the on top, like in the bags of dirt.
Okay.
So they're in the crawl space above the vault.
Yeah.
They lay it all.
Are they basically making shape charges?
Yeah, I guess they're like trying to muffle. So the 11 of the bags are stacked to form a blast shield.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And the other 9 are put directly on top of the dynamite to like muffle the sound, but also drive the impact
the weight
downwards.
Down. Yeah. So they're basically trying to blow a hole in the roof.
Yeah, and you know what? Kablammo.
Nice.
Kablammo. After the blast, Emil, he melted the vault's rebar reinforcements with a blowtorch.
Oh.
16 sticks of dynamite, not enough. Still got to get that out.
Huh.
So at first, the men only took the bank's loose cash, which was like a little over $52,000. Okay. That's still a good haul.
Yeah.
Emil, Chuck Mulligan, Ronald Barber, they went back to Dawson's house, asking Dawson if they could be alone and have a meeting. So Dawson agrees, and he and his wife go to a nearby bar, and they bring Mulligan with them, and then they come back home a couple
hours
later.
Wait a minute, this guy leaves his own house.
Oh, his own house.
Takes his wife. We need to go have dinner. Yeah, These guys need to talk.
And Mulligan's like, I'll go with you. I'm a little hungry. So he gets back to the house. The three guys leave, and they allegedly also left behind some of their burglary tools, which was evidence that would later convict them. So later on Sunday evening, the crew returned to the bank. They've blown in. Now they're like, that was on a Friday night. So like, let's go back and let's see what's going on there. Their presence was recorded because one of the men smashed the time lock clocks that were inside of the vault door.
Okay.
And that's what helped them not be discovered for another almost 16 hours.
Hmm.
458 safety deposit boxes were opened over the weekend using those custom sledgehammers that they'd honed in a warehouse back in Ohio.
The lead sledgehammer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In those boxes, $12 million in bonds, cash, and jewelry. According to Barber, quote, I think it was closer to $14 million, but you know what? The FBI knows more than we did. Evidently, they were there. So some of the crew, they took their share of the booty and they piled it into rented cars and they drove back on to Ohio. A couple of the others decided to fly back. There were no witnesses. Let's take a break.
Wow.
When we come back, I'll tell you how this went for the crew. Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because Simply Safe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. Simply Safe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying SimpliSafe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome.
Hey.
Hello. Thanks for joining me.
So are you going to take me to Ohio now?
No.
Oh.
We're going to stay in California for a bit. So the United California bank robbery happened on a Friday night. And then the Sunday right after.
Continued through Sunday.
Monday rolls around, and of course the bank's going to find out. So staff showed up, and they couldn't get the time lock to work. Remember, he smashed it. And also, remember those, it's the automatic lock on the bank vault. So this one wasn't a two-factor key like I think B of A had. This is the one that wouldn't open until the bank opened in the morning.
Okay.
So they thought it was just a system malfunction, the people working at the bank. And so they called a locksmith to come and fix it. Locksmith's like, I can't do it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a time lock. What can I do?
So they said they sent the locksmith up into the crawl space to try and come from the top.
It's like, I found your problem.
And like get it somehow, like open the thing from the inside, which like that doesn't make any sense. But anyway, I think he was more climbing up in there to see if there were like wires that he could like had shorted or rats chewing on it, whatever. He sees the blast hole. So once the bank manager was able to get inside the vault, you know, a locksmith jumps down, opens it from the inside. They found a mess. Concrete dust everywhere because of the explosion. And then bonds, cash, collectible, jewelry, urns with their ashes tipped and scattered all over.
Why would people have their beloved family members
in a safe deposit,
box?
I don't know. Is that a thing?
It doesn't even make sense.
I don't know. Anyway, so the bank employees call the feds.
Wow.
They call in the FBI.
The locksmith's like, I didn't do this.
He's like, I had no part of this. A detective from the Orange County Sheriff's Department, Keith Roberts, Sergeant Keith Roberts, said, quote, the boxes were removed and stacked carefully. But then it looked like they found a bonanza, maybe a lot of cash in one of the boxes. And everybody went a little nuts. They apparently began ripping open the boxes and scattering the contents wildly like they were on a treasure hunt. So I love he's able to piece it together.
It's interesting.
FBI Special Agent James Conway was on the scene.
Not James Conway.
Yeah. Quote, it doesn't take a detective to figure out that this burglary is different. With two beaten alarm systems, explosives, and several steel rods, this is a heavyweight job.
Oh.
Yeah. There were 125 FBI agents assigned to the case.
Damn, 125. They really want to get this
one. Oh, yeah, definitely. At this point, it's like one of the biggest manhunts in FBI history.
And it's possibly involving Nixon's $30 million of...
Bingo! So
bunko money.
The feds, they had a good clue in their pocket. One of the bank customers saved her deposit box memento currency.
Her what?
So she and her husband, they would go on vacation and they'd get cash.
Mm-hmm.
And she would put like each one in an envelope and mark where they got it. Like
oh.
when they get change back from purchases.
Okay. So that was
and it
her,
wasn't even like
her souvenir is like
foreign
look,
travel.
This is a drachma.
It was like, no, not even that. It was like, I went to Cincinnati, which, oh my gosh, Ohio.
Oh,
no.
not even?
Yeah.
It was
I went
American
to Buffalo.
Currency?
Yeah. And then, but she recorded all the serial numbers. Like, I guess she had like a scrapbook at home.
That's a bizarre habit. I mean, not whatever, but
so they
wow.
have all this cash and the serial numbers for them. Now they just have to find it.
Yeah, of course.
So 2 months after the Laguna Niguel heist on May
what 4th. What luck for the FBI.
Right? May 4th,
1972,
The vault of a small branch bank in Lordstown, Ohio, gets broken into. It had all the signatures and MO of the United California job. Emile's crew did it. They got $430,000 in cash.
Okay.
Which is a lot.
It's good at that time, yeah.
Why? Why so much cash in there?
Why so much cash, Elizabeth?
Thank you for asking. It was the cash for the paychecks of auto workers employed at the nearby General Motors plant.
Oh, the Lordstown plant, yeah.
Yeah, so now they done did it.
Okay.
They just
pissed off GM and Richard Nixon.
Yeah. So by May 25th, Emile, Mulligan, Christopher, Barber, they're the suspects for both jobs. Keep in mind, too, remember who else we talked about? Hoffa?
Yeah.
Teamsters?
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering about this when the unions and the mafia come involved.
Right. So the feds, they figured the guys had to get from L.A. to Ohio.
Yes.
And they also had to get from Ohio to L.A. They checked rental car records, airline manifests. Their fingerprints were found on tickets dated March 15th, traveling from Cleveland to L.A. These are the tickets that they had on their way to get to the heist.
Yeah, flying to the heist.
Yeah, and so the FBI wouldn't say how they got a tip to search thousands of United Airlines tickets in their files, but this is where they say that the investigation really, like, kicked off.
Okay.
This was the beginning of it.
Huh.
So with the airline tickets as a lead, the FBI tracked down a cab driver who remembered picking up the group and driving them to 9803 San Carlos Avenue in Southgate.
Okay, yeah, totally.
And Southgate is where Barber had landed when he was sent out as a kid.
Oh, interesting.
So there's like, this house is like a cute little two-bed, one-bath stucco house.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 728 square feet.
Oh, you know.
Tiny, it's a tiny house. It was the home of Ken and Viola Barber.
If I'm not mistaken, those homes were built to be workers' homes.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So Ken and Viola Barber, Viola is Emile's sister and Harry and Ronnie's mom.
Okay.
So the cabbie, super nice guy from Ghana, he remembered them because they gave him a $100 tip.
Oh,
unheard of at the time.
Wow.
They showed the cab driver a picture of Emile. Yep.
And generosity dooms you.
Yeah, exactly. So now Ronald and Viola were in on this too, and they were subpoenaed on May 31st. FBI agents found registration forms that the D'Incio brothers had filled out. And Chuck Mulligan's name was on there, too, when they stayed at the Jubilee Motor Inn back in February of 1972. And they got records of phone calls made from the motel to the Dawson house in Tustin. So Earl Dawson lives in Tustin. June 2nd, 1972, FBI agents James Conway. And Frank Calley.
Yeah.
They went to Dawson's house, but no one was home. A neighbor is like, oh, are you looking for Earl? I'm like, yeah, we're looking for him. He's like,
where's Earl been?
He's down at the bar down the street. And they're like, okay. So then they go down there and there's Earl playing pool with a friend.
Yeah.
So they drag him home for questioning. It goes on for hours.
Oh,
they're
really?
In there with him.
Well, remember, he's drunk. So he's kinda...
Yeah, but remember how Dawson had been a Marine?
Yeah.
So had Callie. And he used that to establish a connection between the two of them.
Oh, smart. He's
all Semper Fi, brother. And so, you know, you served your country well, Callie said to Dawson. Outside of a couple of drunk driving things, you've never been in trouble. But these people used you.
Like, oh, yeah, splitting them. He's
Earl,
like basically trying to split them off.
Earl answers him, quote, I was always a little suspicious.
Ooh, well, got him.
Yeah. So then Dawson, while they're having this interrogation in his house, Dawson gets a phone call. Caller Mulligan. And he's like, listen, I'm going to be at your house in a couple hours. I need to pick up that Oldsmobile and go get rid of it.
Uh-huh.
And Dawson said Mulligan told him, Mulligan's on there like, I'm kind of worried I'm being followed right now. And I'm going to try and lose the tail, but go to this bar called the Walnut Room and I'll meet up with you there. And so Special Agent Callie, with Dawson's permission, had been eavesdropping on the whole call.
Of course, yeah.
Can I tell you a little bit about the Walnut Room in Tustin, California?
No. Of course, yes, I want to know about the Walnut Room as soon as I heard
that. It is a serious dive bar in a strip mall.
Yes.
It's currently between a 99-cent store and a hot pot place.
Oh, perfect.
I know.
If you're hungry, have a headache, and you need some Tylenol,
I don't know what was there in the 70s, though.
Uh-huh.
It currently has a 4.3 Yelp rating.
Telling you.
I mean, it's a high rating. They have, like, you know, buxom bar maids.
Oh,
there,
do they?
And that's, like, one of their selling points. And they advertise as a dive bar. So,
yes.
Anyway, that's where they have an Instagram. So, the Walnut Room. Dawson, he gets off the phone with Mulligan. Callie and Conway, they call their superior, Special Agent James Cagnasola. He gets a search warrant for the Olds 88. Judge signs it off. It's 8 at night.
Like fast as he can.
Oh, yeah. Signs it off. The agents, they pop the trunk of the car and they find the burglary tools.
Ooh.
They also found 3 gold coins that belonged to a Laguna Beach man who said they were lost from his safety deposit box when it had been robbed.
That connects.
Meanwhile,
yes.
Dawson heads over to the Walnut Room, waits for Mulligan. Mulligan breezes in at 11 at night. The cab driver who took Mulligan to the Walnut Room later tells the FBI that the ride he gave to Mulligan was like a doozy. He drove Mulligan from LAX to Hollywood to Tustin.
Wow.
And he had to take a bunch of side trips. Mulligan's like, okay, go over here. No, go around this way.
Go back to that 7-Eleven.
Trying to lose tails.
You see that church down the road? Go there. Pull in that parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. So Mulligan had the cab driver sit with him and Dawson for 20 minutes while he waited for a tail to show up.
I wonder what they talked about.
I don't know. But what he didn't know is that the agents were already sitting at the bar.
Exactly. Just waiting. Yeah. Like, could you get here already?
So Mulligan, he eventually lets the cab driver go, starts talking to Dawson. And Dawson's like, Chuck, do you have something to do with that $2 million bank robbery in Laguna Niguel? And Mulligan says, now, Earl, you know me better than that. Besides, it was more like $5 million. This guy. So they like sit there and they're chatting like another hour and a half.
These guys are such the side characters of a TV show.
Completely.
You know, like a 70s TV show.
Yes, yes. So Mulligan agrees to stay the night at Dawson's house.
Okay.
And they leave the bar. But in the parking lot, the FBI.
Of course.
Yeah.
Everywhere the FBI at this point.
Sheriff Sergeant Roberts said, quote, Mulligan was one of the coolest men I have ever seen in that situation. Usually a guy will try and give you some smart comeback, but he just didn't say a word.
Huh.
So he keeps all the quips for his friends.
He's not giving away for free.
Mulligan, they booked him in L.A. rather than Orange County because they didn't want the rest of the gang to catch wind of the arrest. But that didn't work because a reporter was monitoring the police scanner and got the information right from a dispatcher.
They hear the name.
Yeah. So Ronald Barber disappeared from his Southgate apartment and stayed gone for 8 years.
Smart man.
Yeah. He wound up living under an alias in rural Pennsylvania.
And that alias, Tiki Barber.
So he said, quote, everybody knew that I didn't like the cold. So I figured the last place they'd look for me was where it would be cold. I used to send them postcards all the time from Florida and Hawaii wishing them Merry Christmas.
Huh.
Throw them off the scent.
I like that. That's a smart move.
Right. June 13th, 1972. So we're like a few months after the robbery, or burglary, I should say. The agents checked Ronald's phone records and saw that he made calls to a Laguna Niguel number.
Mm-hmm.
That was the real estate agent that he rented the townhouse from for 3 months.
Okay.
The real estate agent led the FBI agents to the townhome, and then that's where they found these guys hadn't cleaned up. And
everything. Fingerprints.
There were dirty dishes. No, they tried to clean up most of it.
Oh, really?
But they didn't clean up the kitchen. And there were fingerprints on the dirty dishes of Dincio, the Barber brothers, Mulligan, and Christopher.
Okay. I bet also in the bathroom.
Yeah, probably. June 21st. FBI agents, they arrested the alarm guy, Phil Christopher, in the closet of his house. They found...
In the closet of his house. He's like hiding there.
They arrested alarm guy, Phil Christopher, period. In the closet of his house, they found a paper bag that had like a little over $32,000 in it. Mm-hmm. The majority of it still in the bank wrappers and the bands.
Damn, son.
There were 2 loose fivers that were also in the bag, and those turned out to be some of the memento currency.
Oh, from Homegirl.
Yep. That all she had all the vacation money serial numbers.
Where's the serial? Yeah.
Zarin.
Yes.
Close your eyes.
Oh, you snuck it up on me.
I always do.
Yes, you do. My eyes are closed.
I want you to picture it. It's June 26th, 1972. You are an 8-year-old boy. You've been peppering your uncle with endless questions about his time in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the Pacific Theater. He tells you harrowing tales of his time in the Seabees, working day and night to shore up Henderson Field in the Solomon Islands. He tells you of the backbreaking work, the onslaught of artillery fire they took from the Japanese during the Guadalcanal campaign, the high stakes of it all. Freedom and liberty across the globe were at risk, he tells you. He also tells you about the gold bars he and his buddies found in a downed Japanese Zero, and how they dug a hole and they buried them in the sandy soil along the airstrip, knowing that one day they would return to dig them up and live like kings.
Hmm.
What he doesn't tell you is that all of this is a fiction. He doesn't tell you that he has flat feet. You don't connect the fact that he has Coke bottle glasses and has always had them, even in photos of from when he was a kid. He doesn't tell you that he pushed paper at the Combined Munitions Assignment Board in Washington, D.C. during the war. He filed papers and he typed up notes. He was part of important work, to be sure, but it wasn't death-defying or heroic.
Worst injury, paper cut.
Yes, but you don't know that.
No.
All you know is that your Uncle Bart is a war hero who tells amazing stories of adventure and derring do. And now it's Monday, June 26, 1972. School is out, and you're standing in front of your house in Youngstown, Ohio. Cars whiz by as you stare across the street. Last night, you looked out your window and seen a man digging a hole in the empty lot across the street. You watched as he put something into the earth. Was it an old buddy of your uncle come to plant their riches for him? You are determined to get to what you are now sure are gold bars, untold wealth destined for your brave uncle. You jog across the street, garden spade in hand. You see right away that there's a patch of disturbed earth that's been stomped down to avoid detection. Suddenly, you are at Henderson Field in the Solomon Islands. It's humid. You hear planes and artillery fire in the distance. Explosions detonate, and you know the enemy is getting nearer. You drop to the ground and crawl on your belly toward the spot in the dirt. Incoming! You yell as you roll and tumble quickly to your right and keep scooting forward. The inner life, the interior movie playing in the mind of an 8-year-old boy, is a thing of wonder. You reach the hole and you start digging. Machine gun fire rages in the distance as warplanes buzz you. Your shovel hits something hard. You scramble to pull it out of the ground. It's a thermos. You open the thermos and there it is. Bills. A giant wad of cash. Suddenly, a shadow is cast above you. Someone stands over you. It's not an enemy combatant. It's not one of your fellow CBs. It's your mom.
Oh.
She asked what you have, and you sheepishly hand it over. $98,000 belonging to Emil Dincio. The next day, Dincio was arrested. Good job, Zarin.
Hey, me and my ma.
So, 10 hours after the arrest, his home was searched, and a gold-plated silver dollar coin was found, as well as a $20 bill in his mother-in-law's purse, and both of those items got tracked back to the United California job.
All right.
Soon enough, L.A. federal grand jury issued indictments charging Dincio, Mulligan, Christopher, and the Barber brothers. Let's take a break.
Tiki and Rhonda?
Yes.
Wow.
We've taken a look at the how. When we come back, we'll investigate the why.
Ooh.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hello.
Elizabeth.
Hello.
Elizabeth. Elizabeth.
Zarin. United California bank robbery.
Yes.
Elizabeth. Emil Dincio.
Mm-hmm. Just got busted.
Yeah. Totally busted. He's like, shakedown, breakdown, you're busted. There's a trial. His neighbor kid, apparently his daughter wound up like hating the neighbor kid.
Really?
Yeah, because he's like, I always hated that kid, the one who dug
up. Oh, he busted
you,
yeah, of course.
Basically. Yeah.
I'm detestable.
I think she went on to become a public defender, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really? Yeah. One of those, like the Giuliani flip. Or, like, dad's a gangster, I'm a defender.
Or there's a public defender with her same name.
Oh, that's
who knows?
Possible, too.
And who cares? So there's a trial, and I'll talk about that. But let's look at something Emil told the LA Times on November 26th, 1972.
Ooh, let's.
Quote, just wait till this thing is over. I'll give you a story, a real story. They're a bunch of frame artists.
Oh.
So according to Emil, quote, in May of 1972, high-level government officials ordered FBI agents to steal items, including flashlight batteries from my garage, to find my fingerprints to plant as evidence. And then they used the theft to convict me for the 1972 bank burglary in Laguna Niguel, California. They then covered up the agent's theft. The FBI director falsified dates on FBI laboratory reports, and the attorney general at the time ordered his assistant U.S. attorney, John F. Walter, to prepare and suborn false testimony for FBI and civilian government witnesses.
Of course, to get to D'Annunzio. I mean, like, everyone knows he was pretty much crime boss number one.
So
he thought that this would help his case?
Apparently.
Okay.
In the early aughts, reporter Keith Sharon, he tracked down Harry Barber, the getaway driver.
Uh-huh.
He took Barber out to dinner in exchange for details about the heist.
I thought they just hit it off.
No, but they did meet up at a Denny's in Diamond Bar, California.
Wow.
Bleak.
Good eggs, though.
Yeah, so Barber said it was Jimmy Hoffa who clued in Emil to the $30 million.
Yeah, I figured it has to be an inside job.
Yeah. So Barber says Hoffa told him about the campaign money that was being kept at the Laguna Niguel mm-hmm. Bank, hidden there by Nixon. Keith Sharon, the journalist, said, quote, Nixon would meet with donors, and Nixon would say, if you can give me $1 million, you can give me $2 million. Nixon would take their extorted campaign contributions, and he would hide it somewhere, and one of those places was Laguna Niguel, California.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. He was from around there.
Totally. No, it totally makes sense.
So in 1971, there was the 1971 Federal Election Campaign Act.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, there wasn't a limit on, like, the methods that politicians could use
and to campaign
get cash.
Contributions. Really
yeah. Well. So this deadline's approaching on the new law, and then politicians were just, like, desperate to do a money grab. How mm-hmm. much can we get?
Like a dry sponge.
Nixon, head of the pack. Which, like,
always.
Duh,
I'm
course.
Telling you. Tricky dick.
Yeah. And so one of his cash grabs was from the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, led by Jimmy Hoffa.
I wonder what he was dangling before
well,
them.
At the time, Hoffa was 4 years into a 13-year prison sentence for bribery and jury tampering.
Mm-hmm.
So Nixon made a deal. He's like, I'll give you a pardon. Of course, it's going to cost you. You got to give me $3 million in cash and the Teamsters endorsement, because that's like a Democratic
yeah,
endorsement. They
totally.
Weren't going to. Plus, Hoffa would be banned from all union activities for 8 years. So Hoffa gets out in 71 because his sentence is commuted by Nixon. He uses his mob connections to find out where Nixon is hiding the Teamsters' money. So he's like, I'll give you $3 million. I'm about to steal it right back. He wanted revenge on Nixon because he lost his Teamsters president gig.
Sure.
So he gets in touch with D'Annunzio to steal it back. According to Hoffa, most of the money that Nixon had, aside from his Teamsters money,
mm-hmm.
was from extorting dairy farmers in exchange for raising the price of milk.
Oh, wow.
And this was infamously referred to as Nixon's milk money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's what that's, oh, wow.
According to Barber, quote, Nixon was not one of our favorite people to begin with. We were told that Nixon was hiding some money.
Nixon wasn't even Nixon's favorite
no.
people to begin with.
So we figured he wouldn't cry to nobody. Who's he going to cry to? He stole it himself.
Exactly. He can't call a cop.
Exactly. So March 2003, Keith Sharon, he wrote an article for the Orange County Register called Bang for the Bucks.
Good paper.
Yeah, it is a good paper. In it, he said that D'Annunzio and his crew took the job to steal the $30 million in milk money.
Mm-hmm.
Emil said, quote, really, we were after two boxes to start with, President Nixon's boxes. So we got them first and got the money out of there and secured. It was real nice.
Then
he doesn't want to talk about the others.
But was it the 30 mil? Did they rob Nixon or not?
They apparently.
It sounds like they did, but then where did the money go?
It gets vanished.
Yeah.
So back to 1972, in July, while he's incarcerated and awaiting trial, D'Annunzio, mm-hmm. he gets chummy with a fellow burglar, Richard Arthur Gabriel.
Okay.
Gabriel, he would later testify that between July 25th and August 10th, he and D'Annunzio had about 75 conversations during which Dincio gave Gabriel lessons on bank robbery.
Sure.
You know, it was a mentor-mentee situation.
Exactly.
And he
Fell in university.
And he fully admitted his involvement in the in the heist.
I bet.
And so Dincio told him that he picked that branch, quote, because there were a lot of rich and retired people in the area, and there was an obstacle near the bank, so you couldn't be seen. Mm-hmm. So he's not telling him the Nixon
stuff.
Dincio, he told Gabriel that he wasn't worried about Dawson as a witness because Dawson was, quote, blind in one eye and couldn't see very well out of the other. He can't identify me in court. Well, see, and here's, well, actually, he's wrong. So not about the being blind in one eye thing. He was. Okay. But Dawson was able to identify Dincio in court from 30 feet away.
I was going to say, he's got one good eye.
He's got one good eye. So Gabriel said, quote, he stopped me one day and asked if I knew anyone who owned or managed an apartment or motel. Mm-hmm. He said he wanted to be able to register so he could place himself there during the time of the burglary. And then Dincio also asked Gabriel if he, quote, knew a girl who could get to say she was with him at the time. So he's just alibi shopping.
You know a broad. Hey, I just need someone.
So Dincio offers Gabriel $20,000 in negotiable bonds from the heist. By August 14th, Gabriel's free. He's out of jail working with the FBI. Mm-hmm. So Dincio, he was able to eventually bond out. His family put up everything they could as collateral. And he kept in touch with Gabriel. They were pen pals.
They're buddies now.
Yeah. He's like, I've told you everything that I shouldn't be telling. So now we're friends.
One time at prison camp.
Totally. So he reaches out to him like, hey, remember me? Gabriel's like, I will totally arrange for your alibi. I got you, boo. So Dincio, he's like on the edge of having this alibi.
Sure.
Gabriel's like, you just have to call this person and set up the details with them. I can't presume to know what you want to say. And so Dincio calls. That person was an FBI agent recording the entire conversation. So
if you're a criminal and somebody tells you you need to make a contract with a killer or someone for an alibi, it's going to be a federal
it's
agent
be a federal
every
agent.
Time.
Yeah. So Gabriel also is told by Dincio that there's a plot to have Dawson murdered to keep him from testifying.
I was wondering about that. I'm
and
surprised
Gabriel
there wasn't
turns
more.
Around. He's like, look, feds, I got even more information. This guy's just a conduit of information to the FBI. That gets used in court, that little bit of information.
Okay.
So Gabriel testified, and then the prosecution rested within an hour. And then the next day, on October 27th, at the very end of the day, the jury read their verdict.
Yeah.
Guilty on all charges of bank, burglary, conspiracy, and larceny.
Yeah, they're like, I'm going to hit the weekend.
Yeah.
We're done.
The stolen items still needed to be recovered, though.
Sure.
And it was rumored that they hid everything scattered across the country. But I mean, think about it. Dincio's like burying it in a thermos across the street. If it wasn't for you. over the years, some of the items have been recovered, but the majority of it remains missing to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the $30 million of Nixon's money?
Probably. Many of the bank holders just couldn't remember what they had in the boxes. And others never reported
it. It's funny
it.
How that memory works for really rich
right?
people. They have the worst memories.
So bad. Some they couldn't even reach some of them.
Yeah,
like hey, we need to talk about what was in your
box. I don't remember how to answer a phone.
Yeah. The heist, it inspired books, films, documentaries, masterminds on court TV. They did an episode about it and called Emile's crew, quote, the best bank burglary crew that the FBI has ever seen. And they said that Emile had, quote, planned it for months, executed it to perfection, and stole millions from the ultra-secure vault. It was the most amazing bank burglary in history.
It was the best show.
I mean, we hear that a lot.
We do. There's a lot of superlatives thrown around about bank robbers.
Director Mark Steven Johnson.
Oh.
I don't know. He made a movie about the heist titled Finding Steve McQueen.
Oh, yeah. I've seen ads for that.
Yeah. And he said, quote, it's an amazing story. It's one of those when I first read the script, I thought, that can't be true. I kept Googling it, thinking, how did I not know about this story? This gang of guys from Youngstown said, let's go to California and rip off the president of the U.S. They hated Nixon so much, they decided to go through with it, even though they knew the risks. It's this strangely perfect footnote in American history.
Oh, I got to agree with him on that.
Yeah, me too.
And ripping off Nixon, how much fun would that be?
Well, and then he also said, quote, it's such a fascinating part of the world. It's amazing for them to come from this part of the world and aim so big. This is a movie about identity and people, and we really tried to capture the spirit of Youngstown. People from Youngstown are very proud of where they're from. It's a tough town. You've got to fight for what you've got. We had a screening in Youngstown, and people loved the movie. The only thing they were disappointed in is we didn't use real names.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was rumored that the crew never ended up stealing Nixon's money and that they had actually hit the wrong bank.
That's what I'm guessing is that they did not pull off the 30 mil heist.
Right. But here, but
because they're alive,
Barber argues this. Barber argues this, quote, it was his. Part of it was his. Usually when somebody robs a bank, they send 4 or 5 FBI agents. This man sent 125. Yeah. So you know he was pissed. And then Barber said, quote, that still doesn't mean he was saying that's my money.
No, it says I want to catch these guys who tried to get Dick Nixon.
I don't think it was all in one bank. That, I think it's yes, spread around.
Exactly. I don't think $30 million is sitting in one box. No. I think there's multiple millions in multiple banks. But in the 125 FBI agents suggest they got part of it. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I'm with that.
Agreed. So, Zarin, what is your ridiculous takeaway?
Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be amazing if they would have robbed the whole administration? Like, they got Nixon, they got Kissinger, they got Spiro Agnew. They just robbed them all.
Yeah, it's just like Taste of
go
Medicine.
Go big. Yeah, exactly. That's my ridiculous takeaway. Shoot bigger next time.
That's, I agree.
What's
I
yours,
totally
Elizabeth? You see how I did that? So smooth. So easy.
It was, I don't,
natural.
I don't know how you do it.
That's because I'm interested.
Oh, okay. You
know,
that helps.
Curious.
That very
I care
much
what
helps.
You say.
So, my ridiculous takeaway, I think it's clever to spread the stuff around if you're going to hide it. If they haven't recovered most of it, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And Hoffa is like interesting. He hires this crew to be his guys to pull it off. And yet they pull it off and then get busted in just the dumbest stuff.
Yeah, well, they may not have had the best information to work with.
Sure. I'll give them
but
that.
But it was kind of dumb. The fingerprints on the plates.
Yeah, I mean, they're supposed to be like the best of the best. Yeah. So this is like if Ocean's 11 got caught because somebody sent a postcard.
Well, I'd be inclined to just drive out there and not fly.
Definitely no flying.
Not detectable.
And also not using rental cars. Don't you have anybody
just
who...
Just buy little bum cars.
Buy crappy cars for cash from towns that people don't care.
Exactly. See, we're much better criminals.
We should go into
else.
Crime together.
We really
We've learned so much.
I know. I know. It's like a training camp. Dave.
Yo.
Captain Dave, give me a talk back.
Talk back. Oh my God, did he just say that?
OMG.
I love this show. Good job, guys.
Yes. That's it for today.
I always enjoy those.
Yeah, I do. I love the talkback so much. I love to hear their beautiful voices. You can find us online at ridiculouscrime.com. We are also at ridiculouscrime on both Twitter and Instagram. You can email ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. And as we were just saying, leave a talkback on the iHeart app. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by Dirty Dave Kustin. Research is by Teamster bosses Marissa Brown and Andrea Song Charpentier. Theme song is by Laguna Niguel, Gigolos, Thomas Lee, and Travis Dutton. Host wardrobe is provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Empty Safe Deposit Boxes, Ben Bolin, and Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.